Death of Jesus taught by the Holy Quran and Hadith. We are bound by the word of God. We have in the Quran, وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And I was a witness over them as long as I remained among them. But since thou didst cause me to die, thou hast been the watcher over them, and thou art witness over all things. God, in the name of Jesus, declares that Christians became corrupt after the death of Jesus. While he lived, they and their beliefs remained uncorrupted. Reading this in the Quran, how can we think Jesus is not dead but alive in heaven? And we also read in the Holy Quran, Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya, wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafaru, wa ja'ilu alladhina ittaba'uka fawqa alladhina kafaru ila yawm al-qiyamah. O Jesus, indeed, I will cause thee to die and exalt thee to myself, and will clear thee of the charges of those who disbelieve, and will place those who follow thee above those who deny thee until the day of resurrection. Jesus was exalted or raised to God after his death. The words exalt thee or raise thee come after the words cause thee to die. We must observe the ordinary rules of language. What is mentioned first must take place first. But maybe the ulama know these rules better than God. Maybe they think that although raising to God occurs later in the verse, it should have been earlier. But God is wise beyond conception. He knows best how ideas should be expressed. In his speech, there can be no error, no deviation from the correct word order. He is our creator and we are his creatures. We dare not find errors in his speech. We are ignorant and he is all-knowing. How can we point to faults in his speech? But the ulama seem to think there could be errors in the speech of God, but not in their understanding of it. We cannot say this, for we see only perdition in such a thought. While we have eyes, we cannot fall into a pit. While we know, we must turn away the cup of poison held to our lips. After God, we love only the Holy Prophet Muhammad, on whom be peace and the blessings of God. He is the greatest of all prophets, the greatest of all benefactors. No other human being, prophet or not, has done even a fraction of what the Holy Prophet has done for us. We can hold no one in greater honor. It is impossible for us to think that Jesus, the Messiah, is alive in heaven while Muhammad, our Holy Prophet, lies buried in the earth. We cannot think so. We believe that in spiritual rank, the Holy Prophet stands much higher than Jesus. How can it be that God raised Jesus to heaven on the slightest sign of danger to his life, but did not raise the Holy Prophet even as high as the stars when the Holy Prophet was pursued by his enemies from place to place? If it is true that Jesus is alive in heaven, we cannot feel more dead. We cannot tolerate the thought that our Master is dead and buried while Jesus is alive and in heaven. We feel humiliated before Christians. But thank God, this is not so. God cannot have treated and has not, in fact, treated our prophet in this way. God is the Lord of all lords. He himself called the Holy Prophet the chief of mankind. Having called the Holy Prophet the chief of mankind, he could not have taken more care of Jesus. For the sake of the Holy Prophet, God shook the world. Whoever thought of humiliating him, himself met with humiliation. Could God himself have disgraced the prophet and given his enemies the chance to gloat over the disgrace? The thought that the Holy Prophet Muhammad is buried in the earth and Jesus of Nazareth is alive in heaven makes my hair stand on end. I find it both astonishing and depressing, therefore, I find myself declaring, no, God cannot do such a thing. He loves the Holy Prophet Muhammad more than he loves anyone else. He could not have let him die and be buried and have let Jesus ascend to heaven. If any man deserved to remain alive and to ascend to heaven, it was our Holy Prophet. If he died in the usual way, other prophets have died in the same way. Knowing the high rank which the Holy Prophet Muhammad holds in the sight of God, we cannot think for a moment that he could have received at the hands of God treatment inferior to that which Jesus had had at his hands. We cannot think that at the time of Hijrah, when the Holy Prophet sought refuge in the cave Thor, to reach which he had to mount the shoulders of Abu Bakr, God sent no angels for his rescue. But when the Jews set out to grapple with Jesus, God raised him to the fourth heaven to save him from the murderous designs of the Jews. In the Battle of Uhud, the Holy Prophet had only a few friends left around him when the enemy attacked him. God did not send any angel, nor did he create a phantom, so that the enemy could attack this phantom instead of the Prophet, and break the phantom's teeth instead of the Prophet's. God let the enemy attack the Prophet himself, and when the Prophet fell down as if dead, the enemy raised cries of joy and declared they had, God forbid, killed Muhammad, the Prophet. But in the case of Jesus, God did not let the slightest pain or discomfort trouble him. As soon as the Jews resolved to lay hold of him, God raised Jesus to heaven, and in his place caught hold of one of his enemies, and making him the same in appearance as Jesus, had this enemy of Jesus put on the cross instead of Jesus. We are amazed at what can happen to some people. On the one hand, they claim such great love for the Holy Prophet. On the other, they themselves tend to dishonor and disgrace him. And they do not stop at this. They go further and award fatwas of kufr against those who refuse to subscribe to beliefs which amount to ranking another one superior to the Holy Prophet. We wonder what they mean by kufr. To esteem the Holy Prophet higher in rank than others, to attribute to him the spiritual eminence which belongs to him, is it kufr? Those who hold the Holy Prophet the highest in love and esteem, are they kafirs or unbelievers? If this is kufr, then God be our witness. We value this kufr many times more than the iman or belief of those who attribute kufr or unbelief to us. Very appropriately did Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the promised Messiah, express this thought when he said, بعد از خدا بعشق محمد مخمرم گر کفر این بود به خدا سخت کافرم. Intoxicated am I after God with the love of Muhammad. If this be kufr, then by God, I am the most hardened kafir. Someday we must all die, present ourselves before God and answer for ourselves. Why should we fear any humans? What harm can come to us from them? We fear only God and we love only Him. After Him, we love and honor the Holy Prophet the most. If for the sake of the Holy Prophet we have to sacrifice the honor, interests, and the good things of this world, we will find it easy enough. But dishonor and disrespect to the Holy Prophet we cannot bear. Knowing how very holy he was, what spiritual knowledge and insight he had, and how close was his contact with God, We cannot think for a moment that God loved some other man or prophet more than he loved our holy prophet. If we entertain such a thought, we would be more deserving of punishment than others. We know too well that those who denied the holy prophet challenged him and asked him if he could perform the miracle of ascent to heaven. They said, أَوْ تَرْقَى فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لِرُقِيِّكَ حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَأُهُ. We will not believe except if you ascend to heaven, and we will not believe in your ascent unless you bring to us from heaven a book, which we may then read. In reply to this challenge, God did not empower the holy prophet to show the miracle which those who denied the prophet asked him to show. Instead, God made the prophet say, "Only my God is free from all weaknesses. As for me, I am a mere man." And yet, as the Maulvis teach, when the enemies of Jesus confronted him with a similar challenge, God raised him to heaven. When the holy prophet is challenged and asked to ascend to heaven, ascent to heaven is declared by God to be inconsistent with humanity. But when Jesus is similarly challenged, he is raised to heaven without the least hesitation. If this be true, will it not follow that Jesus was not man but God? We seek refuge with God from this wild thought. Will it not imply that Jesus was spiritually superior to our holy prophet and more dearly loved by God? But we know, and it is as evident as the sun, that the holy prophet Muhammad is the best, the highest in the hierarchy of prophets. Knowing this, how can we think that the holy prophet should not rise to heaven, but instead die in the normal way and be buried here on this earth, while Jesus should go to heaven and remain alive for these 2,000 years? Now, it is not merely that our feeling for the holy prophet is strong. It is a question also of his truth, the truth of his claims. Did not the holy prophet say, "If Moses and Jesus had been alive, they would have had to believe in me and follow me"? If Jesus is alive, the claim of the holy prophet that in that case Jesus would have had to follow him has to be set down as false. The holy prophet's words are significant and clear. "If," says he, "Moses and Jesus were alive," this "if" means that the two are not alive. Moses is not alive, nor is Jesus. This is an important declaration by the holy prophet bearing on the subject. After hearing this declaration, no true follower of the prophet can think that Jesus is alive in heaven, because if Jesus is alive, this declaration of the holy prophet turns out to be false, as also his knowledge of the subject. For is not Jesus dead according to him? There is another important statement by the holy prophet. During his last illness, the holy prophet said to his daughter Fatima, "Inna Jibrila kana yu'aridhuni al-Qur'ana fi kulli 'amin marratan wa innahu 'aradani bil-Qur'ani al-'ama marrataini." وأخبرني أنه لم يكن نبي إلا عاش نصف الذي قبله وأخبرني أن عيسى ابن مريم عاش 20 سنة ولا راني إلا ذاهبا على رأس الستين. Once in every year, Gabriel recited the Quran to me. This year, he recited twice. He also told me that every succeeding prophet has lived to half the age of his predecessor. He told me that Jesus, son of Mary, lived to 120 years. Therefore, I think I may live to about 60 years. The statement is an inspired one. The holy prophet does not say anything on his own, but reports what he receives from Gabriel, the angel of revelation. The important part of the statement is that Jesus lived to 120 years. According to the New Testament records, Jesus was about 32 or 33 years old when the event of the cross took place and Jesus ascended to heaven. If Jesus really did ascend, his age up to the time of the Holy Prophet comes to about 600 years, not 120. If what the Holy Prophet received from Gabriel is true, the Holy Prophet should have lived for at least 300 years, but he lived only for 63 years. Yet, according to Gabriel, Jesus lived for 120 years. This important statement by the Holy Prophet proves that to think Jesus alive is against the teaching of the Holy Prophet, against what was revealed to him by God. In view of all this, how can we be persuaded to believe that Jesus is alive? How can we deny anything which the Holy Prophet has taught so clearly?